May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there were three Irish brothers, Sean, Patrick, and Michael, and they loved to go get a pint after work when they were young. But as they got older, their jobs took them to literally different parts of the world. So they made a promise that whenever they would visit a pub or a bar, they would order three pints as though the other two brothers were there with them. Well, the one brother, Sean, ended up this side of the pond, and he frequented the same bar for many years. Well, one day, he came in and he ordered only two pints, and the bartender said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Sean. Did you lose one of your brothers?" "No, man," he said. "I just gave up drinking for Lent." Well, this is the first Sunday in Lent, and we start off this penitential season with lessons that encourage us to give, to trust, and to confess. In fact, all of our lessons encourage us to live our faith out loud this holy season, and so we are exhorted to carry out holy actions. So I'd like to briefly touch on three that our readings present to us this morning: giving, trusting, and confessing. First, giving. The beginning of our passage from Deuteronomy says this: "When you have come into the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name." Here we see God instituting the liturgical giving of the first fruits of the harvest. Right off the top, the Israelites were admonished to set aside a portion of their harvest as an offering of thanks to God for his abundant provision in their lives. God didn't get the dregs, kind of like when we donate our used, unwanted items to Salvation Army. No, God got the first and the best. In fact, this was true of all of the sacrificial offerings that we read about in the Old Testament law. There was something about the quality and timeliness of one's offering that indicated the place that the Lord had in the hearts of his people. And it's only fitting. You see, our Heavenly Father doesn't merely provide for us, he offered us his best, sending his Son to secure our rescue from sin and death on Calvary. So when we pass the plate, are we giving with the same lavishness that our Lord has given us? Next, trusting. In Luke's gospel, we read, "The devil said to him," to Jesus, "if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Here we get to the chief story that sets the tone for Lent with our Lord's fasting in the wilderness and then testing by Satan. And Lent is that season of the church year that we follow Jesus into the wilderness and engage in some form of fasting or heightened spiritual commitment and confront the temptations that we all face from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in each of these temptations, Jesus, our Lord, reveals what it truly means to trust God. He relies on the promises of God's word more than the outcry of his momentary need. He rejects the corrupt promises of worldly prominence in favor of being faithful to his Father alone. He doesn't presume upon God's grace for anything else when he has already received a clear directive from the Holy Spirit for what he's engaged in right now. In short, Jesus models what it means for us to fully and truly trust God. Now, someone may say, well, that's unfair. Jesus is the Son of God. But don't forget, Jesus set aside his divine prerogatives when he took on human flesh. He isn't waving a magic wand to defeat Satan. He's leaning on the Holy Spirit, just like we do. So the level of trust that Jesus shows is within our grasp. It isn't common, but it is not unattainable. So, no matter what difficulties you face, what temptations entice you, or what conflicts come your way, Jesus' victory over Satan in the desert is not superhuman. It shows us what any of us can do with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can rely on divine strength just like our Savior did. Finally, confessing. In our passage from Romans, St. Paul writes, "If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, I don't want to confuse what Paul means with the word confess here with the way it typically gets understood. He isn't talking about confessing your sins, though that's a good practice too, especially during Lent. The apostle is talking about the kind of confession that we do when we reaffirm our baptismal vows, when we say the creed, or when we tell others about what Jesus has done in our lives. It is simply the public verbal affirmation of faith that we have in our triune God. The taboo topics for polite conversation since World War II have been falling down as being off limits throughout the decades. We talk about money, we talk about sex, we talk about politics. Though the last off-limit subject still seems to be religion. At a time when churches are declining in membership, attendance, and influence, the church has been tucking its tail about its public witness to the faith once delivered to the saints. When was the last time you heard a fellow Christian talk about something good that Christ has done for them? How often do you discuss your faith with others in public? When was the last time you just sang a hymn while going about your business shopping? These simple spoken reminders of the Christian faith can be readily incorporated into your daily life. You don't have to have an answer to every deep question. You don't have to force people to convert. You simply need to be honest and open about how much Jesus really means to you. What we generously offer to God, how we rely on God, and what we admit in our words as the overflow of our hearts about God, these are all sacred actions that demonstrate our faith. And they are exercises for our souls to help keep that strength alive, keep that faith alive. As you take time this Lent to examine your spiritual lives, incorporate these holy actions as ways of testing where you stand. What does your giving say about your attitude towards God's bountiful blessings to you? What do your daily habits show about how much you really trust the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? How often does Jesus or the things that he cares about make their way into your regular conversation? As you discover any deficiencies during your spiritual inventory this Lent, take advantage of these holy actions to build up the muscles of your faith. And as you find that you're doing well, as well as possible in certain areas, keep practicing these spiritual exercises so you can maintain your spiritual health. More often than not, God uses the humdrum of these spiritual disciplines to gradually move us into a healthier connection with Him and others. So, Let's not waste the opportunity our Savior has put before us this Lent. Give to our Father more generously. Trust the Spirit more devotedly. And confess your faith in Jesus more publicly, as our loving Lord gives you the grace to do it. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, hear our prayers and grant to this parish all things necessary for its spiritual well-being. Enlighten and guide our leaders, our clergy, our wardens and vestry. Strengthen and increase the faithful. Visit and relieve the sick. Turn and renew the hard-hearted or careless. Bring again those who have wandered. Remove from us anything that resists your grace or hinders your purposes. Make all of us one united voice to sing your praises and to give witness to your goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.